Welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton.
And I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, and together we're your hosts. Thank you for joining us.
If you enjoyed today's program and you feel called to help us equip the church to provide mental health care and to help those in need, visit our foundation at aaccfoundation.org. That's aaccfoundation.org. Hey, there you're going to find a little bit more about the impact we're having in local communities to strengthen families and individuals. We're on a mission to help equip people everywhere to improve their relationship with God and the ones they love.
We'd love for you to be a part of our family. Let's bring a message of hope and encouragement to today's generations. Your gift ensures that this program and your station remain on the air. And on today's program, my dad, Dr. Tim Clinton, will be joined by a great guest. So let's get started.
Thanks, Zach, and welcome back to Life, Love, Faith, and Family. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton, and joining me today is Pastor Steve Robinson. He's the senior pastor of Church of the King, a church with 7 locations across the United States and a growing international presence. He is the husband of Jennifer and the father of 4 children. For years, he has equipped others to help lead from a place of spiritual depth rather than just outward success. He's the author of several books, including his latest release, Soul Leadership: Rebound from Crisis, Grow in Resilience, and Live from Wholeness. It offers a powerful and timely message for leaders who may not realize how unprocessed trauma can hinder their leadership, impact their relationships. We're going to dive into that today. Steve, welcome. Thank you so much for joining me.
And Tim, so excited to be with you guys.
Faith is back in America. There's such a stirring that seems to be going across the land. Bible cells are up. We're seeing revivals on college campuses. Steve, what do you hear from everyday people? Where are they? What's in their hearts?
Yeah. I think, Tim, when people came out of COVID, particularly the younger generation, there was such confusion. There was such a lack of clarity and unknowns. And people are looking for something solid, looking for something strong. And in the Holy Spirit, I believe that revival tide is rising. We in our own church, our youth and our young adults, we've seen a surge, record attendance. And you're hearing it all over the world. In England, we're hearing about the silent revival and college campuses here in the United States. And I really believe that God is doing something unique among young people. There's a hunger. They're bringing their Bibles. Even kids that look at it on their phones are like bringing physical Bibles. I remember when I got saved in the 80s, man, we'd bring our Bible to church. They're bringing their notebooks. There is an unprecedented hunger for biblical truth. We're seeing it in our church, and I think it's just characteristic of what God's doing in the earth. We're glad to be part of it. As an older person, I just don't want to mess it up, man. I want to see these younger people flowing what God's got going on. So,
Steve, everybody knows, too, though, we've got a real brokenness in culture, especially with our kids. Soaring rates of anxiety, depression, even suicidality. The CDC came out with a report that said 57% of our daughters and granddaughters were persistently sad. The CDC also reported up to 30% of our daughters and granddaughters had seriously contemplated suicide. The brokenness is profound. We're in a mess. We don't have a mental health crisis. We have a mental health disaster. And Steve, it's also showing up across the board and even in leadership. Steve, that's kind of a niche of yours. God's called you to something special, but you've written a very personal book. It's profound. I love it. It's called Soul Leadership: Rebound from Crisis, Grow in Resilience, and Live from Wholeness. Steve, talk to us about the message in this book and the timing of it, because I think this all comes together as we talk about the church and faith and culture.
I wrote this book. It was really an intersection of 3 parts in my life. Number one, my own personal trauma story, both prior to pastoring and then in the pastorate. And I think that's a silent problem with so many leaders that are experiencing trauma. They don't know what it is. They don't know how to get out of it. How do they navigate it? And the mental health, the crisis that I personally experienced, too, walking with leaders, like you said, just pastoring people, walking with leaders, and the fallout, the moral fallout, all the levels that we see, and the unprocessed pain and trauma that people have. And 3, I did my dissertation a number of years ago under a friend of yours, Dr. Coach Tom Mullins, who we all love. The beloved.
I saw Tom this week. Yeah. We were hugging on each other.
He's amazing. And so he was my doctoral mentor. And I remember sitting down with him one day and he said, Steve, why don't you write on, you have a passion for leadership, but in trauma and your own story and how you've walked with so many leaders. And so, Tim, really, Soul Leadership was my doctoral dissertation. And I was speaking at the Bible Museum, and John Maxwell, who's a mentor of mine, and he said, "Steve, this needs to be a book. We want to help you do it for the popular leadership audience." And there is a crisis, Tim. There's a mental health crisis. And I talk about a statistic in there, the high percentage, so much of the mental health crisis that we're dealing with today is because of unprocessed trauma. And so I dove right into it, into this book with Soul Leadership.
Steve, in it, you unpacked trauma and identified what some 93%+ of leaders have trauma in their journey. By the way, your past isn't your past if it's still affecting your present. You hear what I'm saying? And so in the midst of that, Steve, take us back. You said it was personal too. What starts happening when we carry our pain, our unresolved pain?
Yeah. I tell you what happened with me. Our church exploded in growth for the first 6 years, from 1999 to 2005. Then we went through a little storm. I'm speaking a little bit sarcastically, a big storm, Hurricane Katrina. I didn't realize, I know now, Tim, what I didn't know then, but the PTSD and what it is and how it affects the brain. I ran for 1 year on adrenaline in relief, recovery, helping people. My own house was affected. My own personal things were affected. But yet I was doing what leaders do, high adrenaline, running on it. And then in 2008, we lost half the church. Then 2008, we went into a big, ambitious building campaign. People had come back, big $40 million building campaign. The financial crisis took place. The loan was pulled. 2010, I'm preaching one Sunday, and it's like, my gosh, this is what happens when people, they have a breakdown. And I literally, preaching, I thought, I can't do this anymore. And I remember walking to the side, telling our executive pastor between services, I said, man, I'm done. There's nothing immoral. I'm not any ethical lapse. I was emotionally done. They sent me, our elders sent me to a counselor in another state. I guess I didn't want anybody to know, you know, where I was living. You know, I don't know, but good men. My wife was a strong support in that time. And I began to unpack, and that counselor began to unpack the 5-year cumulative impact of trauma in my life and how it had resulted really in acute stress disorder diagnosis at the time, and PTSD as well after that. And so it's kind of, I didn't realize it, Tim. I do now know how many leaders are dealing with unprocessed trauma. Again, that began a journey for me of awareness, symptomology, what's going on. And all of that became the passion for this book, Soul Leadership. So,
Steve, in the midst of it, I went through the book, and I love it because it's the lane we live in. Your brain can start to spin out on you, and you can start really getting into what we call as brain rutting. These pathways get really persistent. You get into rumination. The toxic thoughts, et cetera, begin to consume you. You can get lost. It can get dark real, real quick. Hey, you're listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton, along with my co-host, my son, Zach, who isn't with us today, but Dr. Zach Clinton. Our special guest is Dr. Steve Robinson, new book out called Soul Leadership. He's senior pastor of Church of the King, 7 locations, multi-site church. It's exploding. God's doing amazing work in and through their ministry. But this book, it's a delight. It's really about when you face crisis and trauma, which, by the way, might be a part of your life story, your journey. Can you work your way through it? Make sure you work your way through it and get to a place where you build resilience. And we're going to be talking a little bit more about this model for growth post all of this and how it affects everything in your life, especially your relationships. Steve, coming back to the conversation, you were talking a lot about unhealed trauma. And I want to stay there for a moment because I don't think a lot of people take the time to understand what we mean by unhealed trauma in our lives.
Yeah. I think, you know, one of the things, Tim, that I realized sitting in that counselor's office 2010, 2011, is that, you know, a lot of times when we understand trauma, again, the high impact events, you know, you go through a tornado, a hurricane, you go through an assault situation, but leaders, particularly leaders, they undervalue the impact of small, a board challenge, a marriage issue, a son on drugs. All of this shifts the brain. One of the things that was really fascinating to me as a pastor was, look, I've always, Romans 12, renew the mind, renew the mind. But what I realized is that the brain is an organ. The mind, it's called incorporeal. It's without matter. You renew your mind, but you rewire your brain. The brain has matter. The mind does not. But both of them are transformed by the miracle of neuroplasticity. Now, where does trauma come into this? And you know this as a counselor. Trauma, it shifts the brain. It's not in the event. It's in the body. You carry it past the event. I didn't realize that. So I'm dealing with the recovery of Hurricane Katrina and financial crisis and a young family and all this. So my brain is being shifted. What ends up happening? One of the symptomologies, the signs of somebody that's highly traumatized is what? They're hypervigilant. Their amygdala in that limbic system, it's what? It's activated. So they're always scanning for danger.
And it won't turn off, Steve. It won't turn off.
It won't turn off. And so it then kicks in your nervous system and it starts pumping out that cortisol. You live hypervigilant. You live dysregulated all the time. And so as a leader, why this is so important is, you know, I know in marriage counseling, we talk about co-regulation. Mirror neurons, what you are, you produce, that person connects. As a leader, a dysregulated leader, guess what they produce, Tim? A dysregulated organization. A pastor that doesn't walk in calm. Calm pastors produce calm congregations. Ramped up, traumatized parents produced. There's a peace that comes when you are calm. So a traumatized brain is a brain that lives hypervigilant. Their amygdala is always activated. They're always scanning for danger. What is important is, here's the cool thing, you can rewire your brain. You can renew your mind. I say this analogy in the book. The brain and the mind are so closely connected, it's like a duplex that shares the same front door. So how does this affect you? You see it throughout Scripture. How about Moses in Scripture? In the wilderness, leading, and he's got expectation and complaints from people. Then his sister Miriam dies. What does he do in Numbers chapter 20? He's activated and triggered. His brain has been traumatized. You know what he does? God tells him to speak to the rock and instead he strikes it. It cost him his influence. Leaders that don't deal with unhealed trauma, it costs you your influence. God says, I'm going to let you go up to Mount Nebo, but you're not entering in. You're not going to go in the promised land. And this is Moses. So as a leader, I felt this responsibility as a leader. I said, you know what? I want to be healthy to produce a healthy organization. And one of the areas that is so unseen for leaders, it's that silent, unseen realm, is in the brain. I have a passion to be biblically strong, but to understand the reality of science and how it affects the leader. How they understand what's happening in the, how through breathing, box breathing, Navy SEALs use it, athletes use it, they can calm their soul. The presence of God and practical strategy. I have a passion for this, Tim.
Say, Steve, when you talk about calm, when you're in crisis, go back to what you were saying, the amygdala is literally on fire. Okay, we can't stop it. And this thinking issue. I want to go to the word rumination and stay with it, because it's like you begin to marinate and ruminate on this thought pattern that you've got going. You think you're thinking your way through it, but you're not. You're thinking to another level of the toxic nature of this, and it's consuming you. It's only pushing you to extraordinary limits, if you will, to the edge in your own mind, okay? Now, take us there, because it becomes super, super dangerous too. Because when we talk about getting dark, it can get real dark.
Yeah, again, the term of catastrophizing, that's one of the signs of somebody that's really living with unhealthy thinking. They tend to go to the worst possible scenario. Yeah, and so when you look in Scripture, you look at different men and women, and you look at their journey, and I think about myself, I think about the dark place that I got in. Again, if you're tired, you take a nap. But if you're traumatized, there's a different pathway to health. And part of it is understanding that you don't have to stay there. that your brain can be rewired. Again, I want to go back to this, identifying negative thought patterns, identifying the symptomology, DSM-5, they talk about hypervigilance, they talk about dysregulation, they talk about avoidance strategy, they talk about all of this, and it's to give you an understanding, a criteria to say, you know what, there's something that's not healthy in my brain. The cool thing is, I put in the book, Tim, about this model with Joshua, reject, receive, and act. Reject toxic thinking, receive biblical meditation. You know, we've talked a lot about in the book about the power of biblical meditation and what it does through self-talk and all of that helping to challenge negative thinking. And you know what it's also doing? It's building resilience. I learned in the book, years ago, I went to Northern California. This is so cool. There's this blob. When you're traumatized, your brain doesn't separate, but it restructures. So the impact of crisis hits one side of your brain, but then hyperextends the other side, that amygdala.
Blows it up.
It blows it up. And here's the thing, Tim. The way that you can mitigate the impact of crisis when it hits you, you can actually stress-proof or crisis-proof your brain. You can't avoid it, but you can crisis by what? Filling that blob with air. The more air in there, that's resilience habits. That's mental resilience habits. That's spiritual resilience. What I can do is that crisis hits me, but it bounces off rather than catapults the other end up. So all of these strategies I have in the book, I am a big proponent of resilience. How do you build resilience? Leaders are going to go through crisis. It's not if you go through it, but when you go through it, are you resilient by building resilience habits on the front end? So lots of stuff in there, man.
You know, Steve, as you were talking, my mind went to Philippians 4 again. And it was the peace that surpasses all understanding. That's something we all are craving. That's like that homesick for Eden peace. Somewhere, this whole thing lines back up, and it's beauty. I want to close with a little story, Steve, and then I want to talk a little about you and where people can find out more information, how to get a copy of this book. I was in a conversation with Dr. Diane Langberg years ago, talking about trauma-based work, and she had mentioned this case of this client who was really struggling about being abused, sexually abused as a girl. And in it, I think it was close to Easter. Anyway, she's going through the Easter message and reading scriptures. And in the journey, she comes back in and she said, Diane, they took his clothes. He knows what I've been through. He understands. She said, Tim, you talk about therapeutic. We have a high priest who has been touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He's been in those places and he's redeemed it. He's brought light. He brings light into the darkness, Steve. I love this work, soul leadership, rebound from crisis, grow in resilience, live from wholeness. Steve, I wanted to ask you, the title is Soul Leadership. And just for the sake of clarity, a lot of people would think, well, this is just a book for leaders. It's not. Steve, this is a book for everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, here's what I did in the preface. I said it's written to leaders, but it's not only for leaders. The truth is the principles apply therein. And soul is, I wanted people to go deeper. In our contemporary leadership language, we talk about a lot about self-leadership. Self-leadership precedes team leadership and then organizational. I wanted people to go deeper. Proverbs 4:23. To watch over their heart, their soul, their inner self. For out of that springs the issues of life. And yeah, and so Tim, and honestly, that's where fragmentation or wholeness springs from. And so I wanted people to really ask yourself, how is your soul? What's really happening on the inside of you? And so that's the topic. That's why it's not a leadership book per se, meaning it's not just for leaders. It's for anybody. Because by the way, everybody, if you want to look at it this way, everybody's leading somebody. But if we can get their soul to be aware, you know, the first key to be really walking in wholeness is being aware. What are you feeling? Why are you feeling that? What's really going on the inside of you? So I get people to kind of look within, and that Proverbs 4:23, steward over your heart. By the way, Genesis 2:15, God told Adam to put him in the garden, to steward the garden. We steward That's our assignment, but we also steward our heart. That's our affections. That's our soul. And how we do this impacts this. That would be my word to leaders, Tim. My word to leaders is, you want to produce a healthy organization? Be a healthy person. Go deep in that. Grow in self-awareness. Get healed. Go through the process. What you don't what? Work out, you do what? You act out. I've heard you teach that before, right? And so for me, as a pastor, my passion is, and listen, we're never going to be completely whole this side of heaven, but I will say this, we can get better. We can grow. And we can create environments for people to flourish. Isn't that the goal? The goal for the leader is to create environments where truly people can flourish and have healthy souls.
Our special guest again today has been Dr. Steve Robinson. Really important book, Soul Leadership, Rebound from Crisis, Grow in Resilience, Live from Wholeness. Steve, people want to learn more about you, how to get a copy of this book, maybe how they can watch your church services online, whatever. Where can they go?
Yeah, if you go to steverobinson.com, that's my website. You've got resources on there. Church of the King is our church. Of course, we got online. Thousands of people watch around the country. And I know so many people go to great churches, but that's an additional supplemental resource. I can say it that way. And then again, if they want to order that book, Tim, they can go to my website or they go to Amazon or wherever books are sold. And I just really appreciate you, Tim, again, for giving me the opportunity and for asking me to do this and for your heart and for what you and Zach and Ben and all of you guys over there, your whole team is building, really providing a network, a consortium, a framework, an ecosystem, blending theology, therapy, neuroscience, and leadership. And so grateful for you, my friend.
Thank you, Steve. Hey, on behalf of our entire team here at Life, Love, Faith, and Family, Steve, we salute you. We'll pray earnestly that God will continue to raise up your voice for such a time as this. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
This is Dr. Shawnee Anderson, and I'm a licensed clinical psychologist who's been in practice for over 30 years. In my clinical experience, one of the hardest parts for someone struggling with their mental health is the very first step, the just reaching out for help part. I understand that asking for help is hard, but finding that help shouldn't be. At Christian Care Connect, the mission is to make it easier to find a Christian clinician or coach who is compatible with you, someone you feel comfortable with, who shares your faith and values. Whether you're walking through grief, battling anxiety or depression, or facing any other of life's challenges, excellent mental health care providers are here to come alongside you with support that is both clinically excellent and distinctly Christian. If you or someone you know is looking for help and healing, we invite you to take that next step today. Go to ChristianCareConnect.com to find a provider within 100 miles of you. For further support or questions, you can email us at contact@ChristianCareConnect.com. A new way to start your journey to wellness and peace of mind.
Don't miss the 2026 AACC Faith and Flourishing Mega National Conference with a special emphasis on neuroscience and brain health. Coming to the Lowe's Arlington Hotel in Arlington, Texas in September 2026. Featuring world-leading and dynamic experts like Daniel Amen, George Barna, Jack Graham, Sungyung Tan, Sharon May, Kurt Thompson, Jennifer Ellers, Shawnee Anderson, Zach Clinton, Tim Clinton, and more. Join counselors, psychologists, marriage and family therapists, pastors, ministry leaders, and coaches from around the world. Register now for the best savings at nationalaacc.com. That's nationalaacc.com. The 2026 AACC Faith and Flourishing Mega National Conference.
Do people ever come to you asking for help? Maybe hope? How about prayer? Do you ever wish you understood the issues better that people are wrestling with? Or how about how to use the Bible more effectively in caring for people? If so, I'd love to get a copy of our Care and Counsel Bible in your hands, featuring 116 topics written by some of the world's best mental health and ministry experts. I think you'll love it. Topics like discouragement, abuse, depression, divorce, anxiety, abortion, and more. So you can learn more about these issues and how to use the Bible more effectively, how to share passages of Scripture with others, maybe even yourself, as you're sitting down over a cup of coffee. You know what I love most about this Bible is that it's so easy to use. You can find right up front an index with subjects, key passages of Scripture, personality profiles, and so much more to go to. So you can use the Bible more effectively in caring for other people. The Care and Counsel Bible right now is retailing for $85. We're going to make it available to you for just $49.99 plus shipping. I think you're going to love it. Hey, for more information about how you can get this Bible right now, go to careandcounsel.com. That's careandcounsel.com.